Today is Saturday, February 14th, 2015, and this...
Are you going to stay there forever in Vegas now?
I think so. Hopefully so, yeah.
Be careful because it's hot out there in the desert. And
it's a dry heat.
So yeah, but you got that. You know, you're a ginger. You got to be careful.
Yeah, I know. You got to stay out. There's people actually concerned. They walk up and you have sunscreen, you have protection on.
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
Do you wear...
I have it. Yeah. I have two on right now.
Is 500 by Midnight, the original Las Vegas podcast, show number 491.
I hope that you're having an enjoyable stay here in Las Vegas, and also hope that you have been fortunate. I do wish that for you.
We're gonna give Daddy the Rain Man suite. Do you think that? We're going to Vegas, Mike.
Vegas! You think we get there by midnight?
Money, we're gonna be up 500 by midnight.
Yeah, Vegas!
Vegas, baby, Vegas!
Las Vegas.
Hello, kitties. This is Tim.
And this is Michelle.
Welcome to 500 by Midnight. How are you doing this week?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm fantastic.
We're recording on a Saturday night.
It's how we spend our Valentine's Day.
Uh-huh.
Doing what we do.
Bye.
That'll come later in the show. I'm good at this.
You're a professional.
Anyway, happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine. Happy VD to you,
What do you think about adults who say Valentine's Day?
Oh, God.
If you say Valentine's Day with an M, you might want to take a look at the old dictionary or the internet or any other thing where the word appears. There's no M in it. I feel bad for them. They've gone through their entire lives with saying Valentine's.
Mm-hmm.
Awkward for them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why I'm even talking about this.
Are they the same people who thank the veterans on Labor Day?
Oh, President's Day is Monday. I can't wait to see what dipshittery occurs on Twitter.
Oh, God.
Since people are so confused about the holidays. Of course, President's Day has turned into nothing more than a big mattress sale, but there will be people on Twitter who think that it's a veteran-related holiday of some sort. So that'll be fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. What's wrong with our nation?
Oh. It's our youth. I blame the youth.
Are we blaming the youth?
No. There are stupid people of all ages.
Stupid people of all generations. It's true. And I don't know. I was going to say all of them are listening to this show.
No.
They're just hosting it. All right. So welcome, folks. We have a lot to talk about this week. There's been we've had action-packed weeks lately.
Oh, I'm going to drink now. You might hear the sound of ice occasionally.
It's been nice. There's been a lot to talk about on the podcast lately, and things that I find interesting.
And in our home.
Huh?
We've had many conversations throughout the week, as opposed to other weeks where we just don't talk to each other.
I don't remember any of them. But I hope they were interesting.
But you'll walk by and be like, hey, did you hear about this? I said, no, I have not, because I've been doing other things.
That's new this week?
No.
Do I not usually do that?
There's just been more of it this week than usual.
Oh.
Yeah.
It was because of Valentine's Day. I wanted to share more of myself with you.
Aww,
in that way.
You're so giving. So,
all right, let's talk about Vegas stuff. There's a lot to get to this week. Let's start off. Before we get to the news, we have an announcement for our listeners who may not have seen it on Facebook or elsewhere on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
We have an official date for the return of everybody's favorite Vegas-related online podcasty holiday. The Vegas Internet Mafia Family Picnic is returning this year. The dates have been announced.
Is it for podcasting veterans?
I suppose it is. It is returning on October 16th through the 18th.
We are not the heroes.
Hooray.
Yay.
Hooray. I'm glad that VIMF is coming back once again. I know a lot of people are already looking forward to it.
Some people have already booked rooms.
I know, which is, you know, and that's insane. That's like way out. It's like eight months away or something. But... it's nice to get the dates out early so you can put in for your time off at work. You can begin to look at airfares and, you know, make plans to attend. So for those of you who are new to the show in recent months, we should probably explain what the Vegas Internet Mafia Family Picnic is.
Mm-hmm.
Want to take a crack at it?
Nope.
No? Well, it's our big...
It's drinky fun.
It's our big annual event. And by our, I mean us, our friends at Vegas Tripping, and our friends at the Vegas Gang podcast.
Mm-hmm.
We all do various things during the weekend.
Like drink?
To attempt to entertain whoever shows up and just to hang out. The best
part
of
mingling.
It is hanging out.
There's
a lot of
awkward mingling.
Yeah. But people sometimes get intimidated by the mingling aspect. Don't. It's a really friendly audience. And if and
there were a lot of people who came solo last mm-hmm. year and made new friends and
had a great
hung
time.
Out and yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So if you're traveling alone, do not be intimidated because it is a very welcoming and awesome group.
Or even if you're just a little bit uncomfortable about like going to a place with a bunch of people you don't know.
Yeah.
It's a friendly group.
Yep.
And if you put yourself out there just a little bit, you're going to end up making friends and mm-hmm. meeting a lot of really cool people. So anyway, join us. We'll be doing our show live at some point during the weekend.
And drunk.
And probably drunk.
I keep saying that.
Well, you know, it's good to set expectations.
Let's just say, so last year.
Yes.
It was really only, 4 months ago?
Yeah. October 18th-ish.
Yes. There was a lot of Fireball consumed, and I think people had various points of consumption throughout the weekend.
Oh,
some people fell hard right away.
There were some people who showed up for the main event when we did our show who were in rough shape.
Hungover, yes.
I don't want to mention any names, but they may rhyme with Carmen.
But by the end of the weekend, we were in such rough shape. We were sitting at the gate for a flight. And we were not hungover, but we were just worn out.
Yeah.
But it was fun. It was the good kind of worn out.
It was. It was like when the worn out you get for any Vegas trip, but like multiplied because of all the extra fun we had.
Yeah.
It's a great time. We invite you to join us. We'll be doing our show, Vegas Gang. We'll be doing their show, Vegas Tripping.
And not that you have to drink. If you do not enjoy alcohol, that's okay. Order a soda and just hang out.
That's true. The company is good regardless of whether or not you're intoxicated or not. But we're more tolerable if you're intoxicated.
Yeah.
I find myself more tolerable when I'm intoxicated. And, of course, our friends at Vegas Tripping, they will be doing their thing. Traditionally, they've done the Vegas Game Match Game segment, which is Vegas Tripping Match Game segment. That's always a lot of fun.
Yes.
Who knows what this year will hold for sure. You know, nothing's been announced besides the date. And, you know, sometimes people get a little anxious. They want to know stuff. We'll announce it when it's official.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But hang tight. We just wanted to get the dates out there so you can begin to make plans.
Yes.
And as always,
planning type of person.
As always, speaking of planning, I want to make sure and thank Chuck Monster and Hunter.
Yes.
Because
yes,
they do
yes.
a shitload
do
of planning on
pretty
this.
Pretty much all the work on this.
Yep. We just show we up just and make asses up. Of ourselves and yeah. have a good time, and they let us be part of it, and that's awesome. So come join us October 16th
yes.
through the 18th in Las Vegas. Additional stuff coming later.
Yep.
All right. I can't wait. It's going to be big fun.
Yes. I'm excited.
Tons and tons and tons of Las Vegas news this week. Big things to talk about. Let's start with the big semi-story. And I say that because it's only a rumor at this point. However, the rumors are spreading quickly in the last few days. And it seems like something might be happening. So mm-hmm. I thought we should talk about it. And that involves an old hotel, an old casino, Riviera.
The one that looks like it's been rubbed down by ham.
It kind of does these days. It's in rough shape. The rumors started about a week and a half ago. A friend of the show, Drunk Scott, kicked this one off by saying something was happening with Riviera. Announcements were going to be made soon regarding that property. And then from there, it kind of took off in different online news organizations and other things started speaking with people that they knew, and as the story currently stands, and again, all just speculation, we'll see. There's supposedly going to be an announcement on Tuesday, and it's going to be, if this is all true, an announcement that the Las Vegas Convention and Visitors Bureau is going to be buying Riviera's land for an expansion of the convention center. We'll talk a little bit about why in a moment. As far as when, if this is accurate, when things would begin to happen, there have been a few various reports, but typically people have been worried, like, oh, I have March reservations. What's going to happen? Typically, I believe in Las Vegas, historically at least, the hotels, if they're going to lay off employees, need to give those employees, assuming they're union employees, a 60-day notice.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be a little while, at least a couple months at the earliest before the place shuts down. Some people are speculating that it's going to happen very quickly, and by May they will be shutting down, and by the end of June demolishing the place. Whether or not they actually act that quickly, We will see. Robin Leach has reported that Riviera is being demolished and replaced with a new, more modern Riviera in the space where Riviera currently stands. So that's not happening.
No.
But good effort, Robin. Two parts of this that I'd like to discuss, if you'll indulge me.
One discuss, or you're going to just say some stuff and I'll nod along?
No, I want to talk about it and see what you think and throw things in. The interesting parts of this. One, I want to talk about the convention center aspect, and then two, I want to talk a little bit about Riviera and its possible eventual demise. Mm-hmm. So the convention center thing, they announced 2 years ago that they were going to be undergoing an expansion, and it's huge. It's like a couple $1 billion they're going to pump into it, and it's not just the convention center. They want to create, like, I think they're calling it the Global Business District or something like that. Mm-hmm. So kind of a trade center thing, the trade center element. Part of the reason they want to expand the convention center is so that they can go after large conventions that they don't currently have room for. Mm-hmm. And I was surprised by this because they do have a very large facility already.
Yeah.
Apparently there are about 30 or 40 events that are too big for even that.
Huh.
And there's big money in those conventions.
Oh,
so
yeah.
To bring those in would be very beneficial to the city.
Very profitable to the convention center and to everybody.
Yeah, I mean, it's a huge, huge moneymaker for the city, not just the convention center itself, but just all the money it brings in tourism. Mm-hmm. It's business tourism, but it's tourism.
Do you have examples of such conventions?
That they don't currently have?
Yeah.
Comic-Con in San Diego is one that I know they'd love to get their hands on.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know how long that's tied up in San Diego, mm-hmm. but if I were in San Diego running the convention stuff, I would
lock those suckers down.
Yeah, lock that down for like 20 years if you can, because I don't know specifically what the others are, but they've said 30 or 40, which is way more than I would have thought.
Yeah.
But and maybe, you know, maybe they're not all larger. Maybe it could be that they have
maybe they could have several big ones at the same time.
I was going to say multiple that are maybe scheduled at the same time, and having this much space would allow them to have a couple huge conventions mm-hmm. at the same time. So anyway, it does make sense for the city. If you're interested in these plans, the website they've put together is really interesting, and you can see some of the ideas that they have for what this will look like. Globalbusinessdistrict.com is the website where they have information about the expansion. The convention center, in addition to the land they're currently using, they have been snapping up land around the current facility. So that's why this Riviera thing does make some sense.
Yeah.
They have a parking lot right across from the convention center. And I know when I drove by there in January and CES was happening, they did have some exhibits actually in that parking lot. So they do occasionally use that for stuff other than parking. That land is adjacent to Riviera. So mm-hmm. it would all lock together.
The connection makes sense.
It's kind of a diagonally thing, but it would work. Mm-hmm. There are a couple little chunks of land that are owned by other things that would be kind of floating, and I don't know if they'd be able to get their hands on those or not.
Uh-huh. Don't fucking touch Peppermill, assholes.
Yeah, I'm a little worried about that, because that's right next to Riv. And
yeah, and it's a tiny piece of land. And
yeah. So we'll see. But they own some additional land. They've been buying some parcels just to the south of the convention center, and they're definitely needing more land if they're going to go through with this expansion that they've been planning. So that's why I think the Riv thing probably makes some sense. So as far as Riviera, that's the convention center piece of it. As far as Riviera, how do you feel about the idea of Riviera going away? What are your thoughts? We don't spend much time there.
I guess I'm indifferent because we don't spend much time there.
We never have in all the time we've been going there.
I mean, there's been stuff like, what was the pub before? I think now it's called Wicked Vicky's or something, and it was British pub. And I thought, oh, that would be interesting to visit, and we never made it down there.
You know, didn't we go in there once and kind of, we might have had one drink and kind of.
No, we never had a drink there.
God, I could have sworn that we did, but
we might have walked through and said, this is not the place. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we saw Pat Denizio from Smithereens there.
And that was kind of cool to see the old show. I like seeing the old showrooms.
Yeah.
So that was kind of neat. But every time we've been in there recently, like when we went and recorded, you know, last year, and we went to the Pat Denizio show.
It's not a happy place to be.
No. I was always left feeling like miserable, not miserable, but like.
Yeah. It needs something.
It sucks the life out of you because there's no energy in the room.
Right.
And that's not to say that it had to remain that way.
Yeah.
I do believe that there would be an opportunity. You'd have to pump a lot of money in there.
Yeah.
But renovating it like Tropicana style, I think they'd need more money than Tropicana might have pumped in, even though they did a nice job for a relatively small budget. I don't know. I'm more sad about it in concept than in reality.
Yes.
Because I don't like seeing old
properties just being
disappearing.
Yeah.
There's something cool about those old places.
I'm still bummed about Stardust. I know something's eventually going to take its place, but it's taken its sweet ass time.
Well, you know, that's the thing. Like Stardust, Westward Ho, and New Frontier, we always spent more time there than we ever did at Riviera. Mm-hmm. And those places I have a little bit more of an attachment to. And I'm sure that there are...
I'm sure there are people who have an attachment to Riv.
Absolutely. Same kind of thing. Unfortunately, the attachment isn't great enough that it's been driving tons of business to Riviera over the years.
Right.
I know
somebody really likes to touch the crazy girls' butts out front.
Well, a lot of people do. Everybody does. So part of me is like, oh, it's too bad. It's nice to have a few of those old places around.
Right.
But I have a hard time believing that 2 years from now I'm going to miss it at all.
Well, they've got a couple choices, like you said, either going the remodeling route or just
starting over or getting rid of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it sounds like they're going to get rid of it and cash in, and I really can't blame the owners. They've been losing money on it. So. Yeah.
Is it bad that it's being replaced by convention space as opposed to another hotel casino?
Is it bad for whom?
Yeah.
It's not bad for the city because I think they'll make...
Because they're going to make their money back on the conventions.
Yeah.
They'll be able to book.
I think it'll be a better thing long-term for the city. As far as tourists, I obviously would much rather... explore a new casino than a convention center.
Yeah.
So there is that. The other thing to think about too is, and it's not a huge number, but any decrease in the number of rooms can have a long-term impact on room rates.
Yeah. Because it's a lower tier property, it'll affect that lower tier.
Right.
But we're going to have so much stuff come online in the next... Online sounds so douchey, but
that's right.
It's the right terminology, I think, in the next couple of years.
And they're not going to be, the new places
those
are never
won't
low
be
end,
low tier.
But it'll drive
but
other stuff.
It'll bump some other stuff down.
Yeah. So I don't know. I'm kind of bummed in theory, but not in reality.
Yeah.
And I get, you know, some people that are attached to it are obviously going to be bummed. And then there are some people who lament absolutely anything old going away.
Yeah.
It's like, well... You know what? This is Vegas.
This is Vegas. Don't get too attached to anything.
That's always what I tell people. Don't get too attached. And we've learned that. We've been bummed out when stuff has gone away, but I've kind of gotten away from that.
Yeah.
I like accept it. Nothing in that city is permanent. And the fact that anything on the strip that's been there since the 50s is still around is kind of a miracle in some ways. So enjoy Tropicana and Flamingo because those are the old joints now. And Riviera is probably going away. Again... Still just a rumor, but we'll have more information next week, assuming that an announcement actually does take place. And if not, then we'll make fun of all the people who are spreading the rumors.
Scott.
If this ends up not happening, then we'll unveil our new nickname for Drunk Scott. He has another rumor that he's been throwing around that, and this one I think makes sense too, Monte Carlo might undergo a major rebrand and like Link style revamp. So completely new look using the same building.
I would be totally okay with this.
Yeah, but again, we're looking at low cost place.
Yeah. But
it does need a renovation. Step it up.
I've heard so many bad things about the rooms lately.
Yeah.
We have not stayed at Monte Carlo. We stayed at Hotel 32 a couple of years ago, which we thoroughly enjoyed, but that is run separately.
It's a hotel within a hotel.
Yeah.
It's still run by MGM.
It's still run by them, but Here's those rooms are not Monte Carlo rooms.
One thing that I could see happening that wouldn't surprise me with Monte Carlo as far as a renovation and a rebrand would be somewhat like they did with the hotel, where they turn it over to another company and let them deal with it. I think that might be a thing with MGM.
Huh.
Because if they can get somebody else to pay for the renovations, and then let's say it doesn't do real well and they can take that back in a few years when, say, Delano decides to jump ship. I don't know. There's not a lot of risk for them, as much risk for them if they do that.
Huh.
So I wouldn't be surprised if this is like a familiar hotel brand that they partner with, but I have no idea. I'm just throwing it out there.
I'm just saying the Monte Carlo rooms need some major love.
They do. other aspects of it do too.
And but not I think the kind of love you can see with a blue light or black light. I yes. just ruined my punchline, but yeah, you know right. what I'm saying.
Yep. So there you go. We will keep an eye on that rumor as well. Let's talk about Caesar's Palace, if you don't mind.
I do mind, damn it. Let's talk about something else.
We can. We can talk about Duck Dynasty.
No, we'll okay. talk about Caesar's Palace.
We'll talk about Caesar's Palace first. Some changes are happening there.
I like that you're asking my permission. This is exciting to me.
It's just for Valentine's Day.
Oh. For Valentine's Day, honey, my gift to you is getting a say in the show.
I'll pretend like your opinion matters today. All right. As we mentioned last week, Caesar's Palace is preparing for the opening of its new nightclub. It's going to be called Omnia, run by the Hakkasan Group. That is opening on March 12th. However, there are some additional changes in the area of Omnia that are occurring. Longtime bar at Caesar's Palace, Shadow Bar, has closed. That place has been there forever.
So if you like the outline of boobies,
you're out of luck. What do you do? Where do you go?
Have your partner stand behind a curtain in your hotel room and shine a light? I
guess.
Know.
I don't know. So,
but
yeah.
then their boobies are visible to the people looking at the hotel, maybe.
Nothing has been announced as far as what's happening with that space, but Eater has speculated that Hakkasan Group, which is running Omnia, will also be managing that space. That is just a rumor at this point, but might make some sense. It might be part of the Omnia deal that they would get that space as well. I can't believe that Shadow Bar made it 14 years.
Yeah.
Because
I thought that would shut down way before it did.
It was a big thing when it opened. Like, for a couple of years, you heard it. It was on all the Vegas Travel Channel shows because it was, like, kind of risque for Vegas at the time.
It's
now
titillating.
It's nothing. Yeah. Ladies they weren't truly naked, but they were wearing, like, form-fitting
yeah.
outfits and dancing behind screens so you could see their shadows, thus the name Shadow Bar. And it was
because Booby Bar did not have the same ring.
But you could watch from the casino. Like, it wasn't.
Yeah.
It wasn't behind walls at all.
They have a bank of. Was it video poker? That was right there.
Yep. It was pretty easy to see in. And mm-hmm. But it was.
Not that you ever did.
It wasn't that great. I mean, I did. I saw it. It wasn't mm-hmm. really. Like I said, I can't believe it made it 14 years. Very strange. Another thing that has closed at Caesar's, right next to that nightclub space where Omnia will be, the Pussycat Doll Gaming Pit is gone. Are you going to miss it?
Nope.
Me neither. Every casino has these dancing girl pits, though, so it's like it's not that novel. You can find another
one. They'll replace it with another dancing girl
pit. Yeah, I think they will. One of our listeners, Reginald T. Baggins on Twitter, sent us a photo of that to let us know that that was going on. And I don't think it's been reported elsewhere. So we're going to claim this one as a 500 exclusive.
All right.
That's right. We won the Pussycat Doll's demise in the ever ongoing internet dick measuring contest. That is
exclusives.
Congratulations, us. We'll make sure and mention it every week for the next 6 months.
No, we won't.
Omnia is likely to be putting another party pit in that space, according to Mr. Baggins. So we can keep an eye out for that. But right now there's nothing there. They've completely cleared it out. All the tables are gone, everything. And they've got a big curtain up. So time will tell. I would imagine they'll have something new in the next few weeks. I don't know if anybody's sad by this or not.
Meh.
So I don't think the Pussycat Dolls have anything going on anymore because, you know, they had their little lounge at Pure for a while. And then that moved over to Planet Hollywood. But when the nightclub there got shut down, that went away as well. So the once vibrant Pussycat Dolls Empire has lost
fallen.
Its Las Vegas branch entirely. I don't know if they have anything going on in LA anymore or not.
I haven't really paid attention.
Yeah, well, it's gone. It will forever be known as the Pussycat Dolls era, except for nobody will say that because nobody will remember it in about a year.
Nope.
R.I.P. All right, so as I mentioned, we have some Duck Dynasty news. An update to a story we brought you earlier. Again, this was in the rumor stage last time we talked about it, but now it is official. Duck Commander the Musical is opening at Rio on April 20th. It's going to be in the Crown Theater space. This is a stage musical based on the TV show Duck Dynasty, and it seems like one of the absolutely worst show concepts of all time in Las Vegas.
Any wagers on how long it will last?
Ooh, hiccups. Are you that hammered?
Uh-oh. No, I'm good. I just have to breathe deeply for a few minutes. Carry on.
You know, I originally thought 1 month because there would be a curiosity factor that might keep it running. However, I am revising my 1 month prediction to 2 weeks. And that's based on me going on Ticketmaster, pulling up several dates, and seeing that it doesn't appear that tickets are selling very well. They went on sale on the 12th, and it's a pre-sale right now, but the pre-sale password is available to anybody if you go to the Duck Commander Musical Facebook page. Nobody's buying tickets for this thing. The show will take place nightly, except for on Wednesdays when it's dark, 7 p.m.
Then it's not really nightly, is it?
Well, it's every night. It's a pain in the ass to say Sunday through Tuesday, blah, blah, blah. So it's every night except for Wednesday, 7 p.m., and then there's an additional...
Then just say every night except for Wednesday.
There's an additional... Shut up. Hiccup on hiccupy. There's a 10 p.m. show on Thursdays and Saturdays. None of this matters because it's going to last almost... Could this be another Viva Veracruz that closes before it opens?
I don't know.
That would be the greatest thing ever.
That would be awesome.
Here's the thing. The Duck Dynasty audience, not so much... This is a stereotype, but how many people who are really into Duck Dynasty love musicals? And how many people who love musicals are really into Duck Dynasty?
Nope.
I'm thinking small crossover.
I'm thinking the Venn diagram of that is very... The sliver of the two circles overlapping is very tiny.
So take the tiny sliver and then... cut it down further to those people who are going to actually be in Las Vegas
right
to see it. I don't see them doing well. And so tickets run between $60 and $156.
That's ridiculous.
As I mentioned, Ticketmaster is the place to go. Some of them, the cheap ones, are general admission. They don't actually have a thing where you can see exactly how many tickets are there like they do for traditional showrooms because the way the theater is set up is a little odd. But based on the seat numbers that were coming up, I do think there are a lot of tickets available even for opening night. So I'm not expecting success. If I'm wrong, I'll be happy to admit it, but the only thing that could keep it around longer than a few weeks, I think, is if they...
Controversy?
No. If they try to do a... If somebody wants to keep pumping money into it, and they do like the Pawn Shop musical,
uh-huh,
or stage show, whatever that piece of shit was.
And Pawn Shop Live?
Like, keep trying to revamp it, and then before they eventually give up on it. I don't know with this one, though. I can't believe that this is even happening.
I know.
Bad idea. So there you go. Duck Commander, the musical. Search for the Facebook page if you want to get tickets and you can get the pre-sale code. But public on sale that happens on the 17th if you're so interested. And none of you are, let's face it. Nobody wants to see this.
Nope.
If anybody does see it, please call in a report.
But yes, because we sure as hell aren't.
I would imagine they'll be giving away a lot of tickets. Maybe this will be part of the Diamond... Like the Diamond ticket. Oh, it opens April 25th or something like that. So sometime near the end of April, if you're interested. April 20th is the date. Let's talk about sports. Is that cool?
Sure.
I'm asking your permission again. You're in charge.
Am I?
For the next 10 minutes or so. Sports. Let's talk about soccer first. The dream of Major
League. So we're talking about sports while I'm in charge of the next 10 minutes?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That doesn't seem right.
You're only in charge of determining whether or not we're going to move on with the segments that I've designated we'll go on with.
I would like to hear your thoughts on Town Square.
I have no thoughts on it. It's a shopping center. Who cares? Thanks for asking. Back to sports.
All right. The
dream of Major League Soccer in Las Vegas is dead. MLS notified the city this week that it will not be expanding there during the next several years. As such, the plans for a soccer stadium downtown have also been dropped. And the next time that Las Vegas would have the opportunity to try for a team is 2018 at the earliest.
You're very upset about this.
I am weeping tears of nothing. Not a soccer fan. Didn't really think this was a good idea, regardless of my lack of fandom. I just don't think soccer is a good fit for Vegas.
America.
This is true. A sport that I do like, that I do think is a good fit for America. I'm not sure about Vegas necessarily, but... Let's talk about hockey, which is soccer on skates and a lot more exciting.
Because there are fucking fights in hockey.
Hockey is badass.
Soccer, you've got like, a guy will pretend to run into a guy and a guy will like start flipping around like a fish out of water trying to get a penalty on the other guy.
That's the ultimate in flop sports. Basketball
is pretty floppy too.
Yeah, it is. But soccer is... the all-time flop sport, no question. Mm-hmm.
Hockey, you got people fucking punching each other. It's
people
great.
Lose teeth.
Yes.
All right, so hockey...
Concussions, not great, but the punching, fun to watch.
Las Vegas has been trying to get a hockey team for a while now, and I think they're getting closer. There's a group that an ownership group that is trying to promote the idea of bringing hockey to the new MGM Arena that is being built behind New York, New York, and Monte Carlo. And this week, in order to demonstrate to the NHL that Las Vegas is serious about hockey, they opened up ticket pre-sales. And the way it works is you can put down a deposit, and if the team actually ends up happening, that deposit will then be applied toward your season tickets, and you will have the first ability to buy them. If there is no team, then of course your money gets returned. So they're seeking 10,000 season ticket sales as part of this, and they, in 2 days, got 5,000 reservations. So that's pretty good in 2 days. They had a big press conference, and the commissioner of the NHL actually participated in that, even though they have not yet committed to a team in Las Vegas. Gary Bettman was there, not to be confused with Gary Loveman, who's an entirely different guy.
Oh, are we talking about that too?
No.
No?
Is there something to talk about with Loveman that we didn't talk about last week?
Oh, okay. Oh, that's right, because we talked about it last week, and you mentioned his fancy Dutch boy haircut. Never mind.
Wow, you slept through last week's show too, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Thanks. Anyway, Gary Bettman from the NHL was there.
And I slept through all the shows. What are you talking about?
Somebody's listening to me babble. I think Gary Bettman's presence and then the momentum with season tickets, this season ticket drive, I think that points to a high likelihood that this is going to happen. I was skeptical for a while, but now I'm thinking they're getting a hockey team. It's going to happen. Bettman wouldn't have gone if it wasn't highly likely.
Mm-hmm.
So there's just a matter of time before
that
is
announced. How do you feel about this?
I think it's okay.
Yeah.
I think so. A lot of people have been concerned that Vegas doesn't have enough people necessarily that are tied to hockey as well, who live there, who would support a team. But I don't think it needs to. I think that they will have a fair amount of local fans who will latch on, of course. But because of the nature of that city, the hotels can pick up the slack.
Yeah.
And I think if they're smart, I suspect a lot of this 5,000 number is hotels snapping up large chunks of seats that they can then use for marketing purposes.
Mm-hmm.
Smart hotels will offer packages where they will market to the visiting teams, the fans from visiting cities.
For example, the Chicago Blackhawks are in town.
Yep.
Go see them.
Yep.
Chicago has a sizable population.
Guess what? Here's a room deal that includes tickets to the game, transportation to the game, and a couple drinks at one of our bars afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
You know, suddenly they become a hub for Chicago fans in Vegas. I think we'll see a lot of that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it'll be interesting to watch, and I think it'll be a decent thing for the city, and time will tell. I think there'll be an announcement in a couple months. That would be my guess. VegasWantsHockey.com is the website if you are interested in seeing what's going on with that.
Would you go see
group.
A hockey game in Vegas?
I sure would, if the Wild were there, especially.
Yeah.
I think it'd be fun to see them play there.
Yeah.
Even though we don't go to that many games here. Like, we only go to one every couple of years.
Yeah. But it's fun when we go.
It's
always
fun.
I always have a good time.
Yeah, and I do like it. So, yeah, I would definitely go.
And the reason I chose the Chicago Blackhawks, they have the best goal song in soccer.
Or hockey.
Hockey. God, I said soccer. Oh, my God.
Ice soccer.
Yes. I'm going to have more drinks now.
Soccer would be more interesting if the goal was the size of the hockey goal.
Yes.
You would think with a goal that fucking huge, they would
There'd
score some
scoring.
Goddamn points. How can you not score points in a goal that's the size of a semi-truck?
Although, interestingly...
Oh, Christ.
You have a different opinion about baseball. You don't want a lot of high scoring in baseball.
Different sport. I don't want to see every game 1-0 or 0-0, though. I do like some offense.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like the occasional home run.
Do you dig the long ball?
Chicks dig the long ball. Everybody knows that. All right. Finally, can we talk about bars and nightclubs?
Okay. You were the one who insisted about talking about sports.
We got through it.
We got through it.
Our sports segment. Yeah. You didn't want to talk about it, and you seemed to be interested in hockey and soccer, apparently.
Just hockey.
Didn't you play soccer in college?
Once.
Okay, let's talk about something near and dear to our hearts. Well, part of it is we're not really into nightclubs, but we're into establishments that serve alcohol.
We like bars. We like bars a lot.
Yes, we do. So Nightclub and Bar Media Group, that is the entity behind the big industry nightclub trade show every year in Vegas. It's owned by Bar Rescue's John Taffer.
Who yells at people.
We're big fans of John Taffer and Bar Rescue.
He yells at people a lot.
It's fun. Every episode
yelling
he sees,
at people.
He sees the filthiest bar he's ever seen every week, which is always a treat. Anyway, that entity
this
released...
This is filthy. I can't believe you brought it this way. I'm leaving. If this bar isn't clean within 12 hours, I'm not coming back and I'm not doing your rescue.
Wow, that John Taffer impression was so spot on. I just got chills. You really nailed the voice there.
And I was trying not to yell loudly to, you know, blow up people's eardrums who are kindly listening to our show.
All right. So anyway, John Taffer's entity, Nightclub and Bar Media Group, released its annual list of the highest grossing bars and nightclubs in America. And the list was fascinating. It's the top 100. And a lot of them are in Las Vegas. So I decided, let's take a look at the Las Vegas list and see if there are any parts of this list that we find shocking.
Or fascinating.
Or the least bit surprising or interesting or anything.
Okay.
So the Las Vegas entries on the list. The first thing to note.
Dre's is not part of this.
No. To be on the list, well, you know what? Let's talk about that in a minute.
Okay.
Because Dre's did exist, just not at the Cromwell.
Yeah.
It was at Bally's.
Oh, right.
Whether or not it was open all 12 months, though, I'm not sure. Okay. What they do is if there's a super successful nightclub that wasn't open 12 months, they will give it an honorable mention in the slot, like where it would generally fall.
Ooh,
I'm not exactly sure how they figure that out, but there have been some of those. None from Las Vegas this year, though.
But you were going to say something, and then I went in a different direction. Do you remember what you were going to say?
Yes, 7 of the top 10 bars and nightclubs are from Las Vegas.
Ah, which is why we're talking about this.
It is, but there are others on the list too. So let's run through the biggies. Number one, XS, which is at Wynn.
Not a surprise.
The gross there was between 103 and 105 million. They have ranges because the way this works is the entities, the bars and nightclubs submit the data and then they're audited to find out if what they said is actually happening. So that's kind of why there's a range. It's not an exact number, but I think it's probably fairly close. Number two, Hakkasan at MGM Grand, between 100 and 103 million. That's interesting because that's new.
Mm-hmm.
This is its first full year of operation.
I'm surprised it was ahead of the number three one on the list.
Number
actually.
Three is Marquee at Cosmo, and a pretty significant drop for number three from number two.
Yeah.
We went from 100 to
million.
Yeah, we went down to 80 to 85 million for Marquee.
Because I'm not a nightclub person, so maybe my vision is skewed or whatever, but when I think of nightclubs, I think of XS and Marquee.
Interesting.
Well, but Hakkasan is a well-known brand. Maybe it's going to become...
Yeah, a lot of times what's new is what's big in Las Vegas or with nightclubs in general, so it doesn't surprise me. Now what will remain to be seen is where that stands a year from now after it's been open for a while, which kind of brings us to number four, which is Tao at Venetian, because Tao was...
That's been around a long time.
It has, and it got a ton of mileage a few years ago because it made this list, and I think it made another list as being like the top grossing restaurant slash bar slash nightclub. I'm not sure if that was entirely off of this, but I think that was a different list. I think that was one more aimed towards restaurants as well. But it did top this list a few years ago. And again, another big drop. That one is down to 50 to 55 million. So there's a huge jump between one and two and then three and four. One and two are up in the 100 million range, and then suddenly we see a drop, and number four is half that.
Mm-hmm.
Number five was somewhere else. Number six is Surrender. That's another win core thing, isn't it?
Yep.
40 to 45 million. Number nine is Hyde at Bellagio, between 25 and 30 million.
We've actually been there.
We have.
Not during the clubby part, during the loungy part.
During the loungy part in the evening, which
we prefer.
Is fun.
It's fabulous. It's a little spendy on the drinks, but fun. I would do it again.
I would too, and I would recommend it. Rounding out the top 10 is Lavo at the Phoenician complex, and that's between 20 and 25 million.
I like Phoenician better than Vinilazzo because Phoenician sounds like penis.
I know. I like. That's why I said it. So those are all nightclubs. They're all in the top 10. The next entry from Las Vegas, this one kind of surprised me because I was expecting it to be all nightclubs and not as much, you know, on the bar front. Excuse me, the bar front. I think it's funny that we're both hiccuping while doing our first drinking show in a long time. Number 17 at Cosmopolitan.
We're learning how to drink again.
Chandelier.
Yay. Wow.
$15 to $20 million.
Whoa.
And when I was looking at this, I'm like, that's a lot of money. And then I realized, but Chandelier.
And then you realize their drinks are not cheap.
They're not cheap. And but Chandelier is also like five bars. They've got two on the first level, one on 1.5. And second level, they've got at least two or three. I think there's two.
Two.
Yeah.
Because
there's the main
bar
one,
and then there's the little one outside. Mm-hmm.
So when everything is open, they've got five bars running at the same time.
But a lot of people probably visit there on their way to Marquee, too.
That could be as well.
Or coming from Marquee.
Yep. So it is a gigantic bar. I guess it makes sense.
It's such a good people-watching spot, especially if they're having like a cosplay night or something. Oh, my God.
Always fun. Number 18, back on the nightclub train with Trist, between $15 and $20 million. That's another WinCore establishment. 28... It surprised me. I think we just mentioned this a week or two ago that we'd never hear anything about it.
And that we were surprised it was still open.
I still am. And I, even though it's on this list, we'll see. Chateau at Paris, between $10 and $15 million.
They're having a drag race premiere party at some point.
Oh, good for them.
Yes, good for them.
Number 48, another longtime staple of the Las Vegas club scene, Ghost Bar at Palms, between $5 and $10 million.
Do they still have the little thing where you can stand on top of it and look down?
Believe they do. We'll talk a little bit more about Ghost Bar in a minute after I get through the list. Another non-nightclub.
Oh, okay. We will.
Legacy's.
You were just kind of dismissive there. I just wanted to be.
Legacy's Stadium. So that one really kind of surprised me. I mean, it's expensive. They probably make more in food than they do in booze. Mm-hmm. But between $5 and $10 million, another Phoenician establishment.
Uh-huh.
Back to the bars and back to Cosmopolitan for 66 and 67. We've got Bon Bar and Vesper Bar, both falling in the $5 to $10 million range. And then rounding out the Las Vegas list is the Bourbon Room at, again, is it Venetian or Palazzo?
That is at Venetian.
At Venetian, between $5 and $10 million.
I was pleased to see that there because we've expressed concerns about it possibly not doing well.
Right.
But
this is
just
a good
gives
sign.
Me hope.
I hope it's around for a long time. I like that place. Now, there are a few that are notably absent, and I suspect that some of these are because nobody bothered to submit data this year. I looked at last year's list, and last year, this surprised me now because it closed. So Pure closed, and I'm thinking, well, Pure probably closed because it wasn't doing that great. Pure was number 6 on the list last year, so it was doing pretty good.
Yeah.
It won't be on next year. Omnia won't be on next year's list because it won't be open the full year. So we won't really know.
But it'll get an honorable mention.
It could if it does really well. Haze was number 11 last year. That also closed. That's at Aria. So that, I was hoping that I could extrapolate something like, okay, these that aren't on the list or that didn't do too well might close. But you know what? Even some of those that are high on the list don't make it. Part of that may be because, you know, you're looking at just the amount of money they take in. They may very well be spending more than they're taking in.
Mm-hmm.
These places, of course, they take in a ton of money, but we don't know what they're spending. Their actual profit might not be that great. I would think it would be on some.
Sorry,
that
we have to provide some complimentary blow to Table 7.
Not that there's any sort of illegal drug use in Las Vegas at the nightclubs, but
no.
Let's face it, there is at all of them. One OAK, one of a kind. I guess
that is a stupid name.
But that was 14 last year. Not on the list this year, which I assume nobody bothered to submit data. I'm wondering if what the light club changed, because a lot of these are light group nightclubs that didn't make the list. So maybe nobody bothered to submit data. Light at Mandalay Bay last year got an honorable mention at number 16, so it seemed to be doing quite well. Not on the list this year, so I assume nobody submitted data. The Bank was 25 last year, again, not on the list. LAX, 26 last year, not on the list. Moon, nobody remembers Moon. That was another nightclub, Palms. That is closed. That was 61 last year. So the Dre's you mentioned, Dre's After Hours was on the list last year at number 73.
I'm curious to see where it is next year.
It should, well, it'll be open a full year this year, so it'll be on the list next year if they submit information. again, it was open at Bally's, but I don't, there may have been a little bit of downtime there. So maybe, or maybe just wasn't, because it wasn't as profitable, they decided not to even bother. I don't know. Body English at Hard Rock was number 80 last year, not on the list this year. Gold Lounge at Aria, I think that's another light group establishment, number 88 last year. And Lily at Bellagio, number 94 last year, also not on the list. So I think that a big part of the reason, it seems like a lot of those are light group. Not all of them, but a bunch of them. So I wanted to talk about Ghost Bar, because that was like a huge deal.
That was a big deal for a long time. And then
nightclubs took over every establishment, every hotel and casino. So as recently as 2012, Ghost Bar was number 20.
If you watch a Travel Channel special from 2002, you'll see people jumping up and down on that clear piece of glass so you can look down however many stories it is.
'Tis true. This year, Ghost Bar was 48. Last year was 20. Or no, 2012 it was 20. And then the oldest list I could find was from 2009. And Ghost Bar was number 13 that year, and Moon was number 12. So, and now Moon is closed. So things change quickly in Las Vegas as far as nightclubs. And like Chandelier wasn't on the list last year, but it was 2 years ago.
Huh.
So again,
so they didn't submit data last year?
I would assume that's the case. Kind of. It's too bad because it's hard to compare.
I wish companies would consistently submit data, because then it would be, then we could make charts.
We could make charts. Regardless, if I find it interesting, it's kind of, I don't know, it's kind of noteworthy to at least look at where the clubbers are spending their money.
I find the bar part more fascinating because, one, that's where I spend my time and money. And just to see how successful and that the bars are actually competitive with the clubs.
Well, I was talking about how Tao got a lot of publicity for being like the highest grossing. I could have sworn it was a restaurant. I'll have to do more research on that.
Yeah, that sounds familiar, though.
And the reason that I'm thinking of that is another one that was on that list was Margaritaville.
Huh.
That was one of the most profitable in the country at one point.
I believe it, though.
But it's, I would think that could be on
such a good location.
That could be on the bar list, too, so they must not bother submitting data, because I'm sure that place is taken in a shitload.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's still interesting to see, and if you want to take a look at the whole list, you can look at it. I think it might be nightclub.com. I'll link to it in the show notes. I'll link to the list. It's kind of cool. It was on the Facebook group already, so take a look, learn, enjoy. I like talking about this kind of stuff.
You like reading numbers, don't you?
I like reading numbers? Why do you say that?
I don't know. Because you just did it for the last 5 minutes.
It was interesting stuff to talk about.
It was.
Why are you being mean to me on Valentine's Day?
Because it's how I show my love.
It's not a very, what are you, a 13-year-old girl? That's not cool. All right, let's show some love for our sponsor, shall we?
Viator, Viator, it gives you more.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, we love our friends at Viator. Viator offers great tours, attractions, shows, activities, adventures, all kinds of stuff in hundreds of destinations worldwide. Wherever you're going on vacation, Viator can hook you up with great experiences. Why should I book through Viator, you may be asking yourself? Are you asking yourself that? You're not, because you know.
I do know.
You know why.
Because they're good.
Viator, they're
good. I've taken several tours from them, and I have enjoyed them thoroughly.
That's right. Viator handpicks their tours and activities. They only work with reputable operators. All of their activities are pre-vetted by the Viator staff. They take this stuff seriously. They want you to have a good time. They don't want you to be dealing with riffraff, so they make sure that you've got reputable
tour
companies.
They vet their drivers way more than Uber does.
That's right. The only riffraff you're dealing with when it comes to Viator is us.
Yes, and we are riffraff.
That's right. Thousands of reviews and photos from customers are available on their website, so you can see how other people have, what kind of things they've had to say about whatever activities you might be considering doing, which is always good to get that first-person feedback, not just from the company that's selling it to you, but from their customers as well. They've got a low-price guarantee, so you know you're getting a good deal. Customer service is great. They've got live support around the clock. Easy booking at home from mobile devices. They've got you covered either way. They love us. We love them. It's a love fest here.
Mm-hmm.
I get many reports from listeners that they've had great experiences booking through Viator. So check them out, whether you're going to Vegas or elsewhere. Viator.com is their website. You can also click through the link on our website, and we get extra credit points, and it makes Viator love us more. And that's what we like. We like being loved on Valentine's Day. Moving along to our next exciting segment. Are you excited for our next segment?
Sure.
Okay. The Facebook group discussion of the week. This was a very tough week for choicing one. Very tough choice this week.
Mm-hmm.
Came down to today. A new post today on the 14th, and I was conflicted.
A late entry.
Yes, but it's a good one.
It was good.
Andy posted it, and his discussion topic was / is, it was a question. If you could have any job at any of the Vegas properties, what would it be? And he said he was thinking valet driver. But other people have chimed in with all kinds of options, some which exist, some which don't exist, mm-hmm. ranging from something as simple as a casino dealer to Donnie Max had restocking the fish in Lake Bellagio, which
yes.
I thought was good. Yeah, there's a lot of good ones. So check that out. I will post a link in the show notes, and you can also look at it on our Facebook. Well, the link will be to our Facebook group. But you go to facebook.com/group/500. We're easy to find. A lot of people have been joining the group. I think this new feature has drawn more people to the Facebook group, and I'm glad because there's good participation and it's a lot of fun.
Yes. Do you have an answer to that question that
if
you
I could have any job?
Posted? Yeah.
I kind of want to I want it to be an actual job and not like a jokey job. Like if I really had how about the guy who leads Steve Wynn around?
Yeah.
That's an actual job.
That's an actual job. We've seen that person.
It'd be kind of interesting just to hear Steve Wynn yell at employees.
Mm-hmm.
What about you? Do you have something in mind?
I had two things.
Working at Manolo?
No.
No, that'd be gross. You have to touch people's feet all day.
Yes.
Yeah, that's no good. Now, what would
you
want to do?
The employee discount is not worth that. No.
Okay.
The one I would choose is sequin procurer.
For like Jubilee or something?
Yeah. Yeah, I want to buy sequins.
You know what, though? Part of that job would probably just be at the end of the show each night to run around the theater and pick
sweep
up all the
sequins.
Pick up all the stray sequins. So that would be much fun.
No, that wouldn't.
Because you know those things are dropping all over the place.
Oh, yeah.
It wouldn't just be on stage either because they don't they like, aren't they like above the audience at some point?
Oh, yeah.
So you got to, you'd spend half your time.
I didn't say sequin sweeper. I said sequin procurer.
You think those are two different jobs?
Yeah.
I would think one person's in charge of.
Oh, you think I'm counting the sequins as I'm sweeping them up and trying to figure out how many to replace?
Well, it's not like you're, maybe you just have to pay off the janitor to pull the sequins out while they're working.
Okay.
I don't know how it works. I don't know.
I just.
I like that it's a sequin-based activity that you're interested in. That kind of amuses me.
That's good.
Yeah, that's good. It's a good one.
I like shiny things.
I know you do.
I tend to follow shiny objects.
Clearly, as is evident from this episode of the show.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's take some phone calls from our beloved listeners, shall we?
Sure.
All right.
Hey, Tim and Michelle. This is Ashley from Allen, Texas. My husband Andy and I were in Vegas for the Super Bowl recently, and we had a particularly amazing dining experience that I wanted to share with you all. We had dinner one night at Heritage Steak, which is in the Mirage. It's one of Tom Colicchio's restaurants, and this was the best steak dinner we've ever had. I mean, it was amazing. We remember every bite, every course, every detail. It was so good. I still can feel the piece of meat in my mouth. Like,
hey now.
Oh, good. It's just amazing.
I bet you can.
It's really quiet and romantic. The bar portion is facing the casino. So if you're looking for a more upbeat, more lively atmosphere, a seat at the bar or at the high tops would be perfect. But if you're looking for more of a date night, more secluded, quiet, romantic feel, then you definitely want to go sit inside the restaurant. We had two servers. I'm not sure why, but we had two. And they told us that we were going to have two that night. So I don't know if that was out of the ordinary or if that's standard for them. But anyway, it was.
Did we have two when we were there? I think we just had one.
I don't remember.
Probably a training situation, maybe.
Possibly.
I don't know. I think we only had one, but I don't know.
Amazing service. Everybody that we came in contact with was so knowledgeable, so helpful. Our server's recommendation were just on point. We had the Australian Wagyu flat iron, and it was melt in your mouth delicious. We, at the suggestion of our server, got it medium rare, and it literally was like a perfect piece of steak. I can't say enough good things about it. And then if you go to his restaurant, you have to get the potato puree. It's like mashed potatoes on steroids. You will want to lick the bowl, like when you get to the bottom of it. It is so good. I just, as long as you get those two things, you're good to go. We got $30 off our bill using my Vegas rewards. That was a pleasant surprise. I didn't really expect that a restaurant of that caliber would accept my Vegas points, but they did. So, you know, it's kind of nice to take a little chunk off the top there and reinvest it into drinks. So we appreciated that. We actually shared all of the dishes at the steakhouse. We decided to just split everything. And that worked well for us. I mean, we didn't do that to save money, although it did save us money, but that wasn't the reason. We just knew that it was going to be a really rich and dense meal, and we just feel bad leaving a lot of stuff on our plates. And they were very accommodating when we mentioned that we wanted to just split every dish. They were fine with that. They brought extra plates. They portioned out the meat for us, and just were very, you know, like, no big deal. So that was nice, a nice little bonus. So, you know, as long as you and your dining partner are cool with the same menu items, then it's a great way to not feel like you've wasted part of your meal. And, you know, you save some cash, so why not? We had a great time this past trip. This was amazing. This was our Super Bowl / my birthday trip. And just so much happened, which I won't get into right now. But we're already, I'm trying to convince Andy to go back in the fall. So the last time we were in Vegas was 2 years ago. And so I'm trying to change that so we can maybe go twice a year instead of once every 2 years. Thanks, you guys, for everything that you do. We love the podcast. Just such, you guys are great. You guys are the best. And I love it. Shout out to the Facebook group. You guys are amazing. I read, first thing I do almost every morning is I check the Facebook group posts. Puts my day off right and puts me in a great mood. So thank you to everybody. Thanks, Tim and Michelle. And we'll talk to you soon, hopefully. Take care.
All right. Thank you so much. Ashley. Great call. And you're welcome to call in and describe your meals anytime you want. I enjoyed that.
I know you did.
We're going to be hearing from Ashley a little later in the show as well.
Cool.
Yeah. That was fun. And seriously, come to VIMF. We'd love to see you guys there. Yes. If you can get Andy to come for a second trip mid-October. Be great to meet you.
Yep. And I know exactly where Alan is.
Huh?
They're from Allen, Texas.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't catch that.
Yeah. I was like, hey, I know where that is.
Okay.
I grew up just north of there. They have a very nice outlet mall there.
Of course they do. Heritage Steak. We ate there. We liked it.
It was delicious. Mm-hmm. I would like to go back. However, it is not cheap.
True.
So some of her suggestions, if you want to go there, have a nice meal. Splitting an entree using $30 in my Vegas comps, great way to make it more affordable.
Yeah, I was really glad she mentioned that because that's something we haven't really thought about doing, but that might not be a bad idea if we want to do some, you know, expensive dining and maybe cut down the price a little bit. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of times,
much food.
Especially at the steakhouse where you want to, at any steakhouse where you want to get a couple sides.
Yep.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea. Yeah. So, good tip.
The thing I like about Gordon Ramsay is when you get the beef Wellington, it is...
They do have it for two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you don't, I mean, you get a very good portion. Yep. And then depending on how many sides, how many sides you get.
We're a mess tonight. Hiccuping and sneezing and I'm having some little technical flubs here, but oh well, screw it.
Let's blame the alcohol.
Okay. We can do that. So anyway, yes, Heritage thumbs up.
Yep.
It's at Mirage. Check it out. I wouldn't mind going there and maybe having other than the steak, just having some stuff off their bar menu.
Oh, yeah.
We could do that sometime, too.
We could do that.
Yep.
Yes.
Okay. Moving along to our next caller.
Hello, podcasting Tim and Michelle. This is John.
And Rebecca.
From Victoria, British Columbia. We just want to give you a report from McCarran Airport after our great little weekend getaway. We had dinner at Julian Serrano at Aria. That's definitely do yourself a favor to go to. Great tapas.
Tasty.
We saw Zarcana that night on a My Vegas reward. Excellent value. Had breakfast at Wicked Spoon. Not a good value, but excellent breakfast nonetheless.
All right.
We had dinner at Mesa Grill, coffee rub filet, best steak in Las Vegas, bar none. And we saw the greatest show ever. And you have not seen Tim and Michelle absent at Caesar's Palace on the glamorous Las Vegas Strip. Do yourself a favor. I command you to go see it. Gambling was excellent. I won at every game, but my favorite game, poker, where I was about break even. But I hit $300 in craps and roulette on the morning we were leaving.
Nice.
Great trip. Thanks for the shout out and your 10th anniversary show. That was great. Long time listener, one time caller, and now second time caller. Have a good one.
All right. Thanks for that call. We appreciate it. Packed a lot into a little 1 minute call.
Yeah.
So interesting. I've never had a recommendation for the best steak in Vegas at Mesa.
Yeah.
I mean, Mesa gets pretty good reviews, but.
What, didn't their burger get really good reviews a while ago?
Yeah. Bobby Flay's kind of known for that burger.
Yeah. But when we've gone, we've. Let's see. I had a tamale and some queso fundido and.
It wouldn't have even occurred to me to get steak there. So that's interesting recommendation. Yeah. We appreciate that. Something different. And yes, we've been told so many times we need to see absinthe.
Yes.
And we'll eventually get to it. Probably.
I think somebody's going to drag us there at some point. And that's okay.
I do want to see it. I have no reason to doubt that it's awesome. Right. And I recommend it to everybody.
Been the consistently best reviewed show.
Absolutely. In the time we've been covering Vegas.
Yes.
No question.
I have no hesitation recommending it to people just based on
just a matter we don't go to that many shows, and when we've gone, it's been like something completely different for whatever reason.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think we need to do it one of these days. We'll find time
someday.
All right. Okay. Who are we going with here?
We did have a call that we had to.
Oh yeah, we've had a couple calls the last few weeks that I haven't used either. The sound quality breaks up. Or else there have been a couple that have been extremely long. So a few of them haven't made the cut for those two reasons. But
yes. So if you're wondering why the hell is my call not on here,
that's probably why. Yep. All right. Next up.
Hey, this is Eric, Charlottesville, Virginia. I'm listening to 490 on a long, boring road trip. And during the movie review segment, as it was kind of winding down, and I think Michelle was over it a little bit.
A little.
I was very amused by you asking yourself if you want to do the rest of the show by yourself. And it reminded me of the scene in the movie Wayne's World when they had the dispute with their sponsor and Wayne walks off the set and Garth is just there, you know, frozen. It looked like his head is going to move. So anyway, that's it. Love the show. Bye.
That would be me. I would just be like, so,
That's kind of how I feel when I'm doing the show alone, though.
Yeah.
A little bit.
You always sound lonely, and I feel bad.
I am always lonely when I have to do it alone, but sometimes I just have to feel the need to soldier through.
Yep. For our listeners.
Yeah, to remind we're better off as a combo, and that I don't know why they need reminding. I think they all know this. without you, there is no Five Fundy. You know that.
Aww.
You can hold the show hostage anytime you want.
All right.
Now, whenever I start threatening to get rid of your shoes, all you have to do is go, I'm not going to do the podcast this week, and then I'll give in. I mean.
Really?
Well, what else am I going to do?
Really? Notice. I did see a van collecting, you know, household goods parked outside our house briefly this afternoon, and I was a little concerned.
Yeah, I know. Wasn't me. I didn't call on that one.
Okay.
All right, let's hear from Ashley again.
Tim and Michelle. Hey, guys. This is Ashley from Allen, Texas. And I wanted to call in and review the Super Bowl party that my husband Andy and I attended while we were in Vegas 2 weeks ago. We decided to do one of those all-inclusive Super Bowl party packages, and I just wanted to let you know about it. So we went to Carlos and Charlie's at the Flamingo, and I can hear the collective groan now of everybody judging us. I know. I was fully aware of how shitty the place was, and I had read and heard all of the warnings and the negative feedback and the negative reviews. Like, I knew all about it, and I relayed that information to my group, but they decided to stay the course, and they did not want to change plans. So, whatever, we decided to continue and to go on and party on there. So we stayed with Carlos and Charlie. The party package, we bought the liquor and buffet package, which was $150, and it included all-you-can-drink liquor, kickoff to last second, the buffet, which was advertised as a halftime buffet, but I will get to that in a minute. It turned out not to be what they advertised. Guaranteed seating and views of the game, which was great. We got a high top at the bar, could see the game easily from all angles, and tax and tip was included in that $150. The pros of this situation and the package that we went with and what I really enjoyed was that we actually had a fantastic waitress.
That helps.
She was amazing.
Yes.
She gave great service.
The first thing she said when she arrived at our table was that her mission was to get us all super drunk. So
awesome.
How could you go wrong with that? We actually ended up tipping her extra because she was that prompt and attentive and just wonderful to us. So she was amazing. They had large cocktails. So the free cocktails, really, well, not free, but the all-you-can-drink cocktails that we paid for. I mean, these were at least 16-ounce-plus drinks. They were in large plastic cups. So we definitely got our money's worth. We got so shit-faced. They also were giving out free random shots at the bar.
Free shots on the bar.
That was kind of a cool surprise.
Oh, that's O'Shea's. Yes.
One of those deals where you just walk up to the bar and, you know, open your mouth and the bartender just pours directly out of the bottle, you know, baby bird style. And I did that three times. So I got my money's worth, I feel like.
All right. Oh, yeah. I think I will have to look. I think she sent you and I a photo of her. Self getting the shot baby bird style.
Nice.
Now that she mentions that, it's familiar. I'm behind on my email still/again. There's people who have sent me an email in September that I haven't responded to.
What?
I'm a dick. I'm sorry. Back to Ashley.
Free shot. It was a super busy, fun, loud, just great atmosphere. Just it was really electric. Perfect for what we were looking for, actually. We were really pleased with how it all turned out and how just everybody got along and had a great time. There were blackjack tables right outside of the restaurant at the Flamingo. And so my husband and his buddy had an opportunity to play several rounds of blackjack during halftime. And so that was a nice surprise. I did not expect for that to be that convenient, but it was great. They loved it. Yeah, just really, really great. Just perfect. So the cons... Once I booked with the restaurant manager, I basically had no communication from her. I booked it pretty early on, and I just kept expecting to have confirmation emails of some sort or reminders. I don't know. I just expected more that, you know, you pay so much money and that the person hosting the party would just kind of give you some sort of feedback, and we just got nothing. You know, anytime I had a question or I started to get a little nervous that they forgot about us, I needed, you know, I was the one to reach out to her. So that was just kind of weird. All right. So the big thing that pissed me off personally was that they changed the time of the buffet availability. So they had been billing this as a halftime buffet where the buffet would start at halftime and go until the end of the game.
Makes sense.
And we had planned all of our other meals like breakfast and lunch that day around when we knew we would be able to hit the buffet.
Good plan.
At halftime. And so we roll up to the restaurant and to our shock, we see that the buffet 30 minutes before the game starts is already open and people are already serving themselves.
Uh-oh.
So that completely threw off our plan to get our money's worth as far as eating. So we got to the restaurant and we were still pretty full from lunch. And, you know, of course we got tanked pretty quickly. So we all at some point hit the buffet, but we just could not make it work. And I feel like part of the reason is because they moved it up. And, yeah, so buffet itself was not great. I mean, it was all fried food, like literally a buffet of fried shit. but you know, I knew that. We knew that. We expected it. So it is what it is. Oops, I know you don't like to say that. But anyway. And then just overall, I guess my impression of these parties where it's all inclusive is that if we ever did one again, we would go with the liquor only package and then purchase food off the menu, a la carte. Regardless of how many plates you have, I feel like you would probably make out better with the liquor only package, unless you're eating like five or more plates of food, which could definitely happen. But, so that is my review of the Super Bowl party at Carlos and Charlie's. Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks for that report. We do appreciate it. Even though the Super Bowl is long over, you know, people are always interested in what to expect
for
future
next year or future years.
Yep. Absolutely. So I thought that was a useful useful call, and I appreciate the information.
Yes.
For sure. So thanks for calling, Ashley.
Yeah.
All righty. Before we go, we've got a couple things we need to take care of. First being our Amazon listener purchase of the week. Last week I mentioned that everybody should use our Amazon link to purchase their Valentine's Day gifts, and I think some of you may have taken us up on that. I don't know if it was Valentine's Day or just 50 Shades of Grey fever, but there's
a little bit of both.
Interesting items purchased using our Amazon link this week. I had a hard time choosing, but the one I ultimately went with, oh my Lord, the Master Series Reciprocating Saw Sex Machine Adapter. This is a device that attaches to a reciprocating saw for enjoyment purposes. $77. I don't think that a reciprocating saw, I don't think any sort of, anything you can use to build a house.
should be used in your orifices in any way.
Yeah, I don't know about this. But whoever bought it, please enjoy.
Yes, oh. I hope it gives you great pleasure.
Thanks to everybody who's been using our Amazon link for whatever you've been buying, whether it's something of an adult nature or otherwise, we do appreciate it.
What do you think of the 50 Shades of Grey?
I don't know. You know, we talked about it a long time ago when the books were out, and somebody actually sent us the books.
Oh, yeah.
Like the ebooks.
Uh-huh.
I may have scanned it, but I didn't.
I read the first one, and I had to stop because I just couldn't.
It seems kind of silly.
They're not well-written.
If you're going to watch porn, watch porn.
Yes. There's porn widely available on the internet.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
I would also say,
yes,
if you're interested in some of the other items available, please read the Grantland.com article written by Meryl Marco. It's very amusing.
Related to 50 Shades of Grey?
Yes.
Okay. All righty. So anyway, thank you to everybody for using our Amazon link. You can find it on our website at 500bymidnight.com. If you use that before you buy stuff at Amazon, then we get a small cut. So we appreciate you using that link. Mm-hmm. Some thank yous this week to...
So if you're going to do... I was just going to say a butt saw.
A butt saw? It could be used for that, I suppose. If you're going to use a saw, I'm guessing it's probably going there too.
If you're going to use a saw to enhance any of your orifices, please use our link. a ringing endorsement. Anyway,
really is.
Carry on.
You can buy anything. You can buy other stuff too. Most people are using it for other purposes. They're buying like gifts for their kids or magazine subscriptions or books or... food, or there's all kinds of stuff. Everybody buys stuff on Amazon. Mm-hmm. Okay, anyway, I don't need to explain what Amazon is. Pretty sure everybody knows.
I hope so.
All right, a few karma donations this week. Thank you to Mark for a karma donation for a quick trip beginning tomorrow.
Yay.
Have a great time and
thank
good luck,
you.
Sir.
Good luck.
Ingrid with a karma donation for some local casino luck. Ooh. And just to say thank you.
Oh, thank you, and well, good luck to
we
you.
Appreciate that. Thank you. And Brian and Walter from San Diego headed to Vegas today, I believe. I've been seeing some things on Twitter that would lead me to believe they are there.
Yes.
They're there for their niece's 21st birthday, and Brian said it should be a blast even if it is a family trip. But you know what? There's something kind of cool about that, going with somebody for their 21st birthday.
Yeah.
And like even if let's say the person who's turning 21 has been there before for some reason, which is fairly likely if that person is from San Diego as well, but to be there for somebody the first time, they can really take advantage of all the city
that Vegas has to offer.
That's fun to witness and be part of for sure. So very, very
yes.
cool. Have a great time.
Thank you. Good luck on your trip. Have fun.
They also thanked us for the hours of entertainment. You're welcome. Mm-hmm. Sorry about this one.
Yeah.
All right. Our website, 500bymidnight.com. You can find the Amazon link in our show notes and other stuff over there. You can email me, Dear Tim and Michelle Questions. I will do my best to respond in a more prompt manner than I've done.
We have some of those, don't we?
We do have some of those, and I'm trying to decide which ones to use very soon and which ones there's at least one that I want to hold off on for a little while that I want to use when we have one of our special guest hosts, because I think it would be fun to do some of those speed round
Ooh,
questions.
Yeah.
So anyway, if you have Dear Tim and Michelle questions, send them on. We like to get them even if we don't use them right away. So 500gmail.com is the place to send those. You can find us both on Twitter. I'm 500. She is Anita Martini. And of course, our voicemail line is available to you anytime, day or night. We love getting your calls. 702-866-9494 is the number. Anything else before we wrap things up?
I'm good.
Okay.
Thanks for asking.
Thanks for thinking about it. As always, thank you for listening, emailing, commenting, and calling. We do appreciate it. We will be back with another show soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye.